downtown Royal Oak. For event information and registration, go to christinthestreets.eventbrite.com.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Action is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On a Thursday morning, and I'm live from the EWTN headquarters on the Borgo Vittoria in beautiful Rome, Italy, back in Rome. Traveled here last night from Cascia, which is just north of Assisi, and we had a great day learning more about St. Rita. And then we headed again, as I said, to Rome, and the group is now touring. They did the major basilicas this morning, St. Mary's, St. John Lateran, St. Paul Outside the Walls, of course, St. Peter's. And they are also going to be going to Trastevere to have a little pranzo, which is lunch. And then this evening, we are going to be catching up with our friend Steve Ray and his group because we're going to have a wonderful presentation by Dr. Liz Love. She's going to be doing a talk on the Sistine Chapel, explaining it all before our pilgrims actually wander into the Sistine Chapel tomorrow when they tour the Vatican Museum, so they know exactly what they're looking at, because it can be very overwhelming when you're walking into the Sistine Chapel, especially at the first time, and you look up and you're just awestruck and you don't know where to look first, and you wonder what this means and what that means. Some of it's pretty obvious, but then you see all these other beautiful representations from Scripture, but you're not sure, and you're trying to gather it all in. So what Liz does for our groups is she has a special talk that she does the night before. She brings them through the Sistine Chapel, and it's absolutely fabulous. So it'll be fun to catch up with Dr. Liz and also Steve Ray and his gang, and our pilgrims will be there with them. And then, of course, tomorrow, as I said, they're in the Vatican Museums, and then we're going to take them out in the town in Rome and show them our favorite spots and take them over back to Trastevere, maybe along the Tiber. This time of year in Rome, they do a fabulous thing. They have all kinds of restaurants and bars set up right along the river, so you can feel like you're stealing a scene from the great movie Roman Holiday, my favorite film of all time, with Gregory Peck and Audrey Hepburn. It's really been quite a powerful trip. I hope you can follow our blogs. Joan Lewis, Kelly Walquist, and I have been blogging all week long, and they're posted on all of our websites and Facebook pages. I just posted one yesterday, wrote it as I was driving. We were driving down from Cascia. And what we've noticed the last couple of days, and this is what I discussed yesterday in my blog, and I'll talk about a little bit more in 2 cents, is the bonding that occurs between the pilgrims and the friendships that are born, that are made, and that will last. I mean, this is what happens on these trips. And we had a young woman give her very powerful testimony how God helped her through a very painful divorce. You may have heard Julie from Ohio speaking on my show Monday when we were live in Assisi, and then the women wanted to hear it. They were out touring at the time, so they wanted to hear it, so they had her given on the bus on the way down to Cascia yesterday, and she had everyone in tears again. So there's all kinds of things that happen, sometimes unexpected, and we go into these trips thinking we're going to learn more about God and the saints, and we do, but we also learn a lot more about ourselves. So it's our first day in Rome. We leave on Sunday, but we have a jam-packed schedule, and we'll be back with you live here tomorrow as well. And I believe Joan Lewis is going to be joining me tomorrow. She's been on the bus with us and in Assisi for the past 2.5 days and sharing all of her great insight on this amazing city that she's and home of Italy that she's called home for so very long. In the meantime, when we come back at 8:15 after the news, I'm going to talk to you about the Fortnight for Freedom and tell you about something very special that happened for our group this morning and how it ties in directly with what we're celebrating in the United States right now. The Fortnight for Freedom, which began, of course, on June 21st and wraps up on July 4th. Then after 2 cents, yours and mine, and feel free to call in at 877-573-7825. Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life, will be joining us. And we'll continue our pro-life discussion in the National Hour with Dr. John Braheny. And he is the Director of Institutional Relations at the National Catholic Bioethics Center. He's formerly the Executive Director of the Catholic Medical Association. And we're going to take a look at what's happened, unfortunately, in Canada with this euthanasia bill passing. Lord help us. right across the river there in Canada. And then we'll wrap up a Thursday morning with my friend Jeanette Bankovic, founder and president of Women of Grace. You know her well from her work on radio and TV on EWTN. And she has a number of different conferences coming up, and she wants to let us know about them. And we'll ask her also how the courses went at Orchard Lake, because Dr. Monica Miller was involved in offering some special courses through the Women of Grace. And that just happened a couple of weeks ago, so that'll be great to catch up with Jeanette. Don't forget, the number is 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. Okay, let's take a look at the weather for your area. If you want to know what the forecast is like in Rome, it is hot and sunny. It was a little bit cloudy this morning, but it cleared up, and it's very warm here right now. Let's start in northern lower Michigan, and you are going to have a very nice day today. Comfortable, a high of 76 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, sunny and a high of 82. And let's see, on Saturday, very nice. Ooh, and it jumps up over the weekend, even up north. Sunny and a high of 87. And on Sunday, warm again, but you could get some showers. Cloudy with light rain in the morning, then partly cloudy and a high of 86. Going over to the Thumb area, Saginaw, Bay City, and Flint, clouds and sun, a high of 77. And then tomorrow, mainly sunny and a high of 84. On Saturday, everybody's getting the warm temps, a high of 89. On Sunday, partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorms. A few storms may be severe with a high of 89 degrees. In the central Michigan area, if you're listening in the Lansing Diocese, a mixture of clouds and sun, a high of 79. Friday, sunny, a high of 85. And for the big Faith Fest 2016, it's going to be very nice, but bring your sunscreen, folks, because it's going to be a high of 90 on Saturday. And make sure you bring your parasol or your umbrella that you can stick on your chair or in the ground, so nobody gets heat stroke or anything. It's going to be a great day, though. Faith Fest tickets are still available, and we are a chief sponsor of that wonderful, wonderful event, which I can't attend because I'll still be here. You can find out more at AveMariaRadio.net. Then traveling way down to the southeastern portion of Michigan, of course, and we go to the Wayne, Oakland, Macomb, and Washtenaw County area. Some thunderstorms this morning, and then cloudy, partly cloudy, and very comfortable, a high near 80. Friday, sunny and 85, and Saturday, great, sunny and a high of 89 degrees. Sunday, cloudy with some showers or thunderstorms. A few storms may be severe, and a high of 90 degrees. Forecast pretty similar for our friends listening on Annunciation Radio this morning. It's almost 8:08. It's a Thursday. We are live from Rome. It's Catholic Connection on the road. Let's take a look and see what's happening in and around our world on a Thursday. Well, with relics of two English martyrs currently touring the U.S., the Archbishop of Baltimore is encouraging Catholics to follow their example by defending religious freedom. Speaking at the opening mass earlier this week of the annual Fortnight for Freedom, Archbishop Laurie of Baltimore, who chairs the U.S. Bishops' Ad Hoc Committee on Religious Liberty, clarifying that we are not here tonight, he said, to argue a point of constitutional law, nor are we here to re-argue what has already been persuasively argued in our courts. He says, no, we're here to honor the martyrs, to celebrate the freedom, to bear witness, beginning with Jesus Christ, a faithful witness of the Father's love for Christ and his sacrificial love, the very heart of the Eucharist we celebrate. The Fortnight for Freedom is an annual two-week period of prayer, fasting, and education for religious freedom called for by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. The fortnight begins on the eve of the Feast of the English Martyrs, Saints Thomas More and John Fisher, whose relics, again, are currently touring the U.S., and ends, of course, on Independence Day, July 4th. And speaking of more reason why we need the Fortnight for Freedom, the Obama administration rejecting a challenge to the state of California's requirement that health care plans include abortion coverage. A major federal budget amendment intended to protect abortion foes does not apply, according to the Obama administration. Leaders of the U.S. Bishops' Conference saying it was shocking that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is allowing the state of California to force all employers, including churches, to fund and facilitate elective abortions. Cardinal Dolan of New York and also Bishop Laurie of Baltimore said, even those who disagree with us on the issue of life should be able to respect the conscience rights of those who wish not to be involved in supporting abortion. The Cardinal chairs the U.S. Bishop's Pro-Life Committee, while the Archbishop again chairs the Ad Hoc Religious Freedom Committee. California's mandatory abortion coverage rule responded to the efforts of two Catholic universities, Santa Clara and Loyola Marymount, which had sought health care plans that did not include elective abortion coverage. However, some faculty members objected to the exclusion of the coverage, and their allies sought state intervention. Cardinal Dolan and Archbishop Lurie called on Congress to pass that Conscience Protection Act, saying this would stop further discrimination against people of faith and against all who respect unborn human life. Pope Francis sending a video message to the people of Armenia ahead of his visit to the country this weekend. In the message, delivered in Italian, the Holy Father says, "As a servant of the gospel and a messenger of peace, I desire to come among you to support you, your effort towards peace, and I would share our steps on the pathway of reconciliation which generates hope." Meanwhile, the Pope on Wednesday, holding his weekly general audience, greeting thousands of pilgrims and visitors gathered in a very hot and sunny St. Peter's Square. During his catechesis, the Pope focuses reflections on the gospel story of a leper who was healed by Jesus as a sign of God's mercy and forgiveness. He said, as Jesus reached out and touched the unclean man, he said, so must we never be afraid to reach out and touch the poor and those most in need. At the same time, he said, the Lord invites each of us to feel our own need and to ask for his healing touch. In other news this morning, Michigan's Attorney General Bill Schuette is suing two companies that contracted with the city of Flint for water testing after a move to use the Flint River as the municipal source. Schuette says details about how lead levels became a hazard are disturbing.
The more I discover and decipher the who, what, where, when, how of this Flint water crisis, the angrier I become.
The two companies, one from Delaware, the other from Houston, accused of professional negligence and a public nuisance in civil litigation filed yesterday. Statements from officials at both companies denied Schuette's claim that they contributed to the contamination and caused it to worsen. Special counsel Todd Flood added that the state agencies up to the governor's office are withholding documents requested during the attorney general's investigation. Presidential spokesman Josh Earnest defending Democratic proposals on guns.
Everyone who is suspected of having ties to terrorism should be prevented from buying a gun. Unfortunately, Republicans blocked legislation that would do that.
Democrats have raised the volume on gun control since a deadly mass shooting in Orlando. Earnest told a briefing that Democrats are proposing common sense gun safety measures that are not radical. They include expanded background checks and preventing people on the terror watch list from being able to buy guns. Earnest insisting that none of the proposals would undermine the Second Amendment. The House of Representatives, meanwhile, adjourned until next month as the Democratic Party sit-in is now on its second day. House Speaker Paul Ryan ordered the adjournment until July 5th around 3 in the morning Eastern Time. That came after the House voted to approve more than $1 billion in funding to address the Zika virus. Democrats began the sit-in yesterday morning. They're demanding a vote on gun control legislation. Ryan's office, as the Senate, has already defeated the bill Democrats want called for a vote. Congressman John Lewis of Georgia, a veteran of the 1960 Civil Rights Campaign, is leading the protest. Baltimore's Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake saying the city is prepared should any protest turn violent following the verdict in the latest Freddie Gray released officer trial.
Now, I don't want to see members of the community, either way the verdict goes, I don't want to see them disheartened and become disengaged. So it is a concern of mine, and that's why I continue to say that justice is a process, not a verdict.
Rawlings Blake said yesterday the city has connected and collaborated with local and regional law enforcement to make sure security measures are in place. The National Guard is also on standby, and police have canceled all leave for officers. Judge Barry Williams is set to issue his verdict this morning in the trial of police van driver Officer Caesar Goodson. He's facing a murder charge after Freddie Gray suffered a spinal injury in the back of that van last year and then later died. Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio changing his mind and will run for re-election this year. He pledged to leave the Senate after his failed presidential bid, but told Fox News yesterday the stakes are just too high.
I think no matter who wins this presidential election, the Senate's role of being able to act as a check and balance on bad ideas from the president, I think are going to matter more in 2017 than they perhaps ever have in our history.
Republican leaders have been pressuring him to change his mind because of fears that GOP control of the Senate may be in jeopardy in the fall elections. Rubio ended his presidential run after a great primary loss to Donald Trump in his home state of Florida. Trump has lately been encouraging Rubio to seek re-election. The Coast Guard continuing to search for a missing family in the Florida Gulf after recovering one body.
And we'll be searching through the night, both from the air and from the water surface.
That's Coast Guard Captain Gregory Case telling Fox News on the record a body was recovered yesterday afternoon and transported to local authorities for a positive identification. Ace Kimberly and his three teenage children were last seen Sunday morning when they left Sarasota in a 29-foot sailboat. Earlier, debris believed to be from the boat was found, helping the Coast Guard narrow their search for possible survivors. The jury is now deliberating the Led Zeppelin copyright trial on the West Coast. During closing arguments in L.A. this week, attorneys for the plaintiffs telling the jury that Zeppelin band members Jimmy Page and Robert Plant are liable for millions of dollars for lifting the opening of their rock anthem, Stairway to Heaven, from the 1968 song Tourist by the band Spirit. Lawyers from Plant and Page say the musical pattern at the start of Stairway is a musical building block that's been in the public domain for decades. A smartphone app could help people remember not to leave kids and animals in hot cars. Dr. Howard Smart is chairman of pediatrics at Sharp Reese Steele Medical Centers in San Diego. He's created an app called Child on Board, which reminds people when they have children in the back of their car. It's 8:15, and this Catholic Connection edition is live from the EWTN Bureau in Rome. We're just a few blocks from the Vatican, where we're at this morning for a beautiful Mass, a private Mass, celebrated for our group of pilgrims by His Eminence Cardinal Burke, who is now head of the Order of Malta and still based here in Rome. Tell you a little bit more about our trip, what we're experiencing, and what you can learn, too, on a pilgrimage when we come back. If there's something on your mind, if you have some 2 cents you'd like to contribute, phone lines are always open, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. Live from Rome, it's Catholic Connection on a Thursday. We'll be right back.
Join the fun at the Catholic Community of Flint's Faith in Flint Festival Friday, June 24th from 3 to 8 at Powers High School. People of all faiths and ages are welcome. Bishop Boyer will lead a prayer service, and there's a talk by Catholic evangelist Richard Lane. There's activities and games for the kids. Powers High School is off the I-69 Hammerberg Road exit in Flint. Call 810-235-1812. That's 810-235-1812 for more information.
With new roundabouts going in all over town, you may find yourself going in circles. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Don't get caught up in the runaround while looking for a new car, truck, or Jeep. Come in and experience honesty, integrity, and an overall fun experience during our Drive and Discover event going on now. With payments as low as $139 per month on new Ram pickup, Jeep Cherokee, Dodge Journey, and Chrysler 200, you can be assured of the lowest possible price and express yourself in style and luxury only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
When a kid loses a tooth, it's exciting. But an adult has some serious decisions that needs a caring, faithful, and family-oriented dentist like Dr. Maddie with Advanced Dentistry Center. Here's what Dr. Maddie says to those that are deciding between bridges and implants.
While bridges only last 8 to 10 years and damage adjacent teeth, implants last up to 30 years and help prevent bone loss. Plus, they look more natural.
Extremely natural, with Dr. Maddie, who practices the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center. Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph, make the decision to call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Mention Ave Maria and receive 10% off dental implants. Be comfortable knowing that Advanced Dentistry Center's goal is to provide you with the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best. That's 248-594-9592.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. This month we observe Father's Day. We thank God for faithful fathers who, like God Himself, give and protect life. Let's also pray for fathers who are afraid to be fathers. Thousands of times a day, children are aborted, not because of a choice of the mother, but because of the choice of a father who fails to show the faithfulness and willingness to protect the child he has helped conceive. At other times, fathers tried to stop the abortion, but the law excludes them from the final decision about the abortion. Men do suffer grief after the abortion of their child. This month, Priests for Life is raising awareness of that through our initiative, Healing the Shockwaves of Abortion. Find out more at abortionshockwaves.com. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Almost 8:20, it's a Thursday morning, and we're live from the EWTN Rome Bureau. If you've ever been to Rome, and you've been to the Vatican, if you're looking at St. Peter's, it's just a few blocks over to your right. It's on a street called Borgo Vittoria, right next to the famous Borgo Pio. And the Borgo Pio is a great location for some beautiful religious goods stores and some wonderful restaurants as well. And I'll be here until Sunday, and the trip is going extremely well. We have some wonderful pilgrims from across the country, many of whom, or most of whom, I should say, actually joined this trip because of hearing it on Catholic radio. So we have folks from, let me see if I can get this straight. We have Ohio, we have Massachusetts, we have Florida, we have Nebraska, we have Kansas, we have, where else? I'm trying to think. Texas, I believe? Oh, New Orleans, Louisiana. Anyway, just a great group of ladies, Minnesota, several from Minnesota, from all over the country. It's our first Wine and Shrine Tour, and WINE is an acronym for Women in the New Evangelization. And we started our trip in Assisi and used that as our base for 4 days, and then we went to the beautiful city of Siena, home of St. Catherine, and then also learned about St. Rita of Kasha, that was yesterday, and then also learned about St. Benedict and St. Scholastica as we visited their beautiful little town in the Umbrian hills of Norcia. And now we're in Rome, and the ladies are out today doing the major basilicas. Tomorrow they will do the Sistine Chapel and the Vatican Museums, and then a few other things on Saturday before we wrap up and have a wonderful so long or arrivederci dinner, farewell dinner, at the adorable restaurant of La Scaletta, which I highly recommend. It's right behind St. Agnes off of the Piazza Navona. Joan and I hang out there a lot, and Joan will be joining us again. She's working. She's going to be with us tomorrow, actually. She was on the bus with us and stayed with us a couple days in Assisi. Now she's back to work here. I chatted with her via email this morning, and she'll be joining me in studio tomorrow just to give me an update on her work and what she's covering right now. Also, I had the opportunity, first time, to meet in person, just walked in before I went on the air at 8 o'clock your time, Edward Penton, great writer for the National Catholic Register. He's got his bags packed and is heading out to Armenia this weekend on the papal plane with the Holy Father. So he is going to be joining me for a few minutes at the top of the hour right here in studio to kind of give us an idea of what to expect, why the Holy Father is going to Armenia, his main goals for the trip, and a little bit about what it's like to cover Pope Francis. So that'll be coming up at the National Hour along with Jeanette Bankovic and also Dr. Kennedy from the National Bioethics Center to take a look at that horrible legislation they just approved in Canada regarding euthanasia. Jeanette Bankovic also joining us in the National Hour as well. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about the experiences we've had so far. This morning was extra special. Cardinal Burke, His Eminence Cardinal Burke, he is just such a sweet, sweet, dear, holy man. I emailed his secretary a few weeks ago because we were looking for someone to celebrate an English Mass for us. And I said, you know what, the Cardinal's such a dear, I'm just going to write him and his secretary and ask. Can't hurt, right? And I've known the Cardinal for quite a while, and he's been a semi-regular guest on this program. He's also, of course, been interviewed by Al many times. And he's just so solid, and he's just so humble and just in love with the Lord and the Church. And so I wrote his secretary. He wrote me right back and said, absolutely. So we had to get up bright and early at the crack of dawn this morning at 5:15 to be at the doors of St. Peter's, go through security, and to get into the church by 6:30, 7 o'clock. Now, you may think that nobody else is going to be there at that hour. Wrong-o, because there are all kinds of different masses being celebrated for different groups. But the Cardinal brought us down to a beautiful little chapel right by St. Peter's tomb, and we had a private mass. And it was a beautiful homily. We didn't do today's readings. He picked special readings for us for the pilgrims being in St. Peter's and talked about the importance of being at the, you know, throne here, the center of Catholicism, and how the church is under attack around the world, in the United States, and even within the church in some aspects. And I want you to really pray for Cardinal Burke, because I stressed a real heaviness, I mean a real faith, that he's not obviously ever going to lose his faith. He said, you know, we have to stay strong and know that the Lord's going to see us through all these problems in our world today. But I could tell that his heart's broken on the confusion that's out there right now, because there's so much misinformation being disseminated by various sources. And he's concerned, as any good shepherd would be. But he gave us a beautiful homily about the importance of all being evangelists and going out there and making a difference and staying true to the Word of God. And you could have heard a pin drop in the chapel, because I think the women were so mesmerized that here was this prince of the church, you know, this larger-than-life, amazing witness who's been through a lot of suffering and persecution himself, giving us his private mass just for our group, about 30 women, and then encouraging women to go out and make a difference and do what God called them to do. Really powerful and significant moment for the ladies this morning. And again, that's what happens on pilgrimage. And we've been working very closely with our good friends at Corporate Travel, John Hale and Diana George, to make sure everything goes smoothly. And, of course, Steve Ray, also working directly with Corporate Travel, is in Rome, and we'll be meeting with him tonight. But all kinds of really special and very meaningful things happen when you make yourself available and when you make a trip and make the effort and show up. Amazing things happen. So with that in mind, I just want to read you a blog that I posted yesterday and some of the things that, as hosts, we were observing that was happening to the ladies in terms of their growth and their bonding, you know, and their fellowship. Just really a beautiful trip so far. All right, here we go. This is a Faith Fellowship Fun and Dozens of Frozen Moments. And again, you can find a copy of this on my blog. It's under T's blog on my website at teresatomeo.com. And you can also find it, of course, on my Facebook page, Facebook.com/Mrs. Teresa Tomeo. Today, which of course was yesterday, we said arrivederci to St. Clair and St. Francis in their town of Assisi and headed to Cascia to learn more about St. Rita. St. Rita was an Augustinian nun who experienced a stigmata. Numerous miracles are attributed to her, and she is the patron saint of impossible situations, as well as a patron for troubled marriages and estranged families. As we traveled through the Umbrian Mountains, my pilgrimage co-host Kelly Walquist, Joan Lewis, and I couldn't help but notice once again, as we have for the majority of the trip, the sound of lovely chatter taking place on the bus. It was a joyful noise and a sign of the Holy Spirit at work. While every pilgrimage is different in terms of the itinerary, one thing remains constant. If pilgrims are open, God will show up. Believers' faith will also be strengthened, and new friendships will be formed. This is a pilgrimage and not a tour, after all. We're all on a journey to discover more about God and His saints. What surprises many is what they learn about each other and themselves. I'm sure, for example, that sweet Julie from Ohio never expected to share her story about how God carried her through a painful divorce. But she did, and not just once on my radio show on Monday, but also on the bus as we left Cascia and headed to Rome. As a result, the 30 women on this journey through Italy, as well as hundreds of thousands of radio listeners, know that they're not alone when it comes to suffering. They've been reminded and reassured that there is joy in the midst of the bumps, twists, and turns, as well as friends that join us as we do our best to put one foot in front of the other. Kelly and I have also noticed how the women are helping each other, whether it's extending a hand to a fellow pilgrim as we trek up yet one more hill or flight of stairs, or loaning someone a few euros so they can try that pistachio gelato, or covering someone in prayer as they share some of their struggles. They are there for each other. We're only halfway through our trip, with the next stop being Rome, and already the ladies are reminding us the need to share contact information so they can be in touch long after we fly home on Sunday morning. There has been one frozen moment after another, special times that are meant to be savored and drawn upon when life gets a bit crazy, as it so often does. As you can see from the photos, and I really encourage you to look at the photos, because the scenery has just been, I don't know, awe-inspiring, breathtaking, every cliche you can think of, right? As you can see from the photos, the inspiration also comes from the incredible beauty in the lives of incredible saints, all of whom became pillars of faith through suffering and perseverance. But they never lost their joy, and along the path were comforted by friends and probably had a few glasses of wine and some fun along the way as well. No doubt St. Clair, St. Francis, St. Benedict, St. Scholastica, and St. Rita will be proud and are smiling down on us as we head to the eternal city of Rome. So that was my blog for yesterday. I should be posting something again tonight, or hopefully first thing tomorrow morning. But again, you can find the blogs at my website under T's blog, teresatomeo.com, or go to my Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/Mrs. Teresa Tomeo. I believe they're sharing them also on the Ave Maria homepage at AveMariaRadio.net. And this is a reminder to think about pilgrimage, whether you come with me or Steve Ray, or head out to overseas with Al and Nick Tom, and of course Steve Ray coming up in the fall in the Footprints of God. Pilgrimage can have a huge and lasting impact on your life in so many ways. It'll strengthen your faith, and it'll give you all kinds of surprises and especially new friendships. And you'll always find a connection with what's happening in the world and what God is trying to tell us. For example, with the Cardinal's message this morning about persecution in the church and remaining strong and concentrating on Christ during troubled times, that's what the USCCB is reminding us to do during the Fortnight for Freedom. And our Lord, even in the gospel today, is reminding us to remain strong. And that we have to put our money where our mouth is. In the gospel in Matthew, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name?' Then I will declare to them solemnly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers.' Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house. But it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined." When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. The readings are really, really beautiful in terms of reminding us how important it is to stay strong. As the Cardinal told us in our private mass this morning, as the bishops are telling us in promoting the Fortnight for Freedom, which began a few days ago and runs through July 4th, and of course, as our Lord is telling us in today's gospel. Just about 8:30. It's a Thursday. We're live from Rome, and we will be right back.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
In times of need, sacred scripture can speak to us with words of encouragement, especially the Psalms. When we are in conflict, Psalm 37 offers counsel and says, "Fret not because of evildoers." When we are unsure of what road to take, we hear, "Trust in the Lord, do good, and he will direct your paths." When sorrow knocks on our door, we hear King David from Psalm 30 saying, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." And when we are lonely or in sorrow, a still small voice from Psalm 27 whispers, "When my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." God speaks to us through his living word, and if we are open our hearts to that word, he will give us what we need. To learn more about how God's Word and Sacred Scripture can help you, visit the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan on Facebook or at cbsmich.org.
It's the outdoor Catholic music event of the summer, Faith Fest 2016, featuring six musical performers capped by Matt Maher. Advance tickets are $30, but Ave Maria Radio listeners can get a $10 discount. Go to FaithFest16.com and enter the promotional code AVE for 33% off. Don't miss Faith Fest 2016, June 25th at the St. Francis Retreat Center in DeWitt.
The Christ the King Catholic Worldview Series continues on Putting on the Mind of Christ with its instigator, D.R.E. Barbara Morgan.
Now, sin came into the world through one man, and with sin came death. And the poison that death spreads. Very quickly in time, sin took its first tolls, and the poison of death remained and was extremely virulent until nobody was left but Noah.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting on the Mind of Christ. Christ the King's D.R.E. Barbara Morgan put the Catholic Worldview Series in place, and she began its second phase. We'll hear that talk on our next program. Listen to Putting on the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet. Here's a Family Minute with child psychologist Dr. Ray Guarendi from Ave Maria Radio.
Is it really worse to spank a child than to have an extramarital affair? Newsweek, in an article called "The Return of Shame," polled Americans. Listen to these results. 62% of those polled think that most people would feel shame if it were known that they'd had an extramarital affair. However, 73% think that most people would feel shame if it were known that they'd hit a child in anger. Are you stunned by those results like I am? In essence, at least among those polled, our culture believes that it is less shameful to have an extramarital affair. In other words, people would feel less bad than if they swatted their child in anger or upset or frustration or disappointment. Apparently, we have succeeded in demonizing spanking to such a degree that culturally it is now a greater sin than having an extramarital affair. At least that's the logical implications of this poll. I certainly hope you don't think that way. I'm Dr. Ray.
...8:35 on a Thursday morning. It's afternoon here. It's, let's see, it's 2:30 Rome time. Roma time, as Father Frank would say, and 8:34 Michigan time or Eastern time. And Father Frank Pavone, of course, needs no introduction. He's the National Director, if you don't know who he is, of Priests for Life, a well-known author, and has been on the front lines, and a speaker as well, been on the front lines in the pro-life movement for many, many years. Father, I don't know where to begin. Certainly never a dull moment. Okay, let's talk about the craziness in the state of California, first of all. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Yes. Well, as you know, the church has been fighting in court, including in the Supreme Court, where we have our case and various others, against government mandates that force complicity in abortion. Now this is the federal mandate from the HHS, but there are also state mandates. In fact, there was one here in New York that, as a result of which, we took our insurance out of New York State, even though our headquarters is here. Our insurance for our staff is based elsewhere. So we have these state mandates, in California as a particularly bad one, where, you know, no matter what happens at the federal level, the state is forcing abortion. And we're not here now just talking about abortion-inducing drugs. We're talking about surgical elective abortion, period, is included in health insurance plans and in other things too, forcing churches and other religious groups to provide this or to participate in it in one or another way. So, I mean, this is such a violation of conscience that for a couple of years now there's been an investigation going on at the request of various lawmakers in California and in the Congress, a request of the HHS, which has oversight on this matter, to look at how this California mandate actually violates federal law. Now, there is something called the Weldon Amendment, which prohibits that, not only on the federal level but on the state level, it prohibits this kind of force being used against churches to participate in abortion. Well, just the other day, in fact, when I was in Washington, D.C., with some of the people that are looking into this and fighting this, the HHS came out finally with the results of its, quote, investigation, and they said, and now this is despite the fact that the law says the state cannot force involvement in abortion, despite the fact that California is doing exactly that, somehow in its Alice in Wonderland mythical thinking, the HHS is saying, oh, the law wasn't violated, California's fine to do this. So now it's really causing outrage, and there is already a bill, a conscience protection bill, aimed specifically at enforcing this Weldon Amendment, as it's called, but put in simple terms, protecting churches and individuals and groups from the state saying to them that they have to pay for, provide, or otherwise be involved in abortion. So that's what's going on. I was with Congressman Joe Pitts. In fact, some pro-life leaders and I honored him the other day. You know, he's been one of the greatest pro-life voices in the Congress. He still is. He's in his 10th term as a representative from Pennsylvania. But he's going to be retiring at the end of this Congress. And so we honored him and thanked him for his long advocacy. But he's been one of the key people here fighting with the HHS and saying, hey, this is a clear violation of the law that California is involved in. But he and others are pushing now this legislation that must must pass, and it'll provide us another measure of protection. So you can, we can never,
think it
bottom
will,
line is
we
can never
it
take
will
these
pass,
things.
Father?
I think it can. I certainly think it can. Yeah, what, it's all a matter of like what we're doing right now. It's making people aware of the problem and the need for it. This particular bill does not have a lot of co-sponsors right now, but I think the with this recent decision of the HHS just the other day, I think this will get some momentum now behind this bill.
Now, were you involved in the meeting with Donald Trump and the even pro-life and the evangelical leaders?
Well, I was in a meeting with Mr. Trump. I've been in two meetings with him so far, and I was in one that happened just prior to the New York meeting the other day, a couple of weeks earlier, in Washington with a smaller group of leaders. This one, I was invited to the New York meeting, but on the very same day, I had a one of my quarterly meetings with the national pro-life leaders in Washington. So I had a conflict, but so I couldn't go to it. However, Alveda King represented Priests for Life at that meeting. And, of course, I've spoken with a number of the people that were there. Now, good things came out of that meeting. First of all, what this was you know, it ended up being a whole lot bigger, not surprisingly, than it was originally meant to be. It was going to be a couple of hundred evangelical leaders and some Catholics, you know, invited as well. But it ended up being like 1,000 people, and it was more of a speech, although there were questions prepared in advance that some key leaders, it was all prearranged and scripted, and the leaders asked Mr. Trump these questions, and he gave response. But here's the thing I found most encouraging in both both the meetings that I've had, where he has not only spoken but then met privately with key leaders, and also then what I saw happen in New York, and it's this, that not only is he talking the key points on pro-life, justices to the Supreme Court and judges in the other courts who will be pro-life, signing bills like the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which he said he would sign if it comes to his desk, defunding Planned Parenthood. Aside from those basic points, which are things we really need to hear from him, he's been talking about something else. And it is, if our listeners have been following our conversations over this last year, really, you know, my book, Abolishing Abortion, that came out precisely for this election year, focuses on how the churches censor themselves because of the Johnson Amendment in the tax code, saying, oh, you can't be involved in politics. And my book goes into, you know, great detail as to how that has to change. Well, now Mr. Trump has been talking precisely about that. He said he was astonished to hear of how hamstrung churches are in their freedom to speak their mind on political matters. And he said this Johnson Amendment has got to go. Now, this doesn't mean that we're in favor of the church endorsing candidates. It doesn't have to mean endorsing candidates. It means the church should be free to say whatever the Word of God and Catholic teaching say, even on political matters. And the Second Vatican Council said that very clearly, too, in Gaudium et Spes, said the church always has to have the freedom to teach her teachings. And then the document says, and even to pass moral judgment, even in matters relating to politics. So this is very interesting, I find, that I've not heard a presidential candidate speak so strongly so early on about so specific a matter affecting the churches, affecting also what we say on this radio program, for that matter, because that same Johnson Amendment and restricts what's said on this very broadcast. And so I find this very, not only encouraging, but very important for us to follow through on and follow up on and talk about as this campaign progresses.
I don't know if you saw the commentary that Archbishop Coakley of Oklahoma City put out regarding, you know, the Fortnight for Freedom and all of the attacks on the church, but I just wanted you to comment on this because it's very, very good, and it's in line with what you were just talking about, because so many people seem afraid, Father, to speak out about anything. I was just talking to some of the women on our trip here from Ohio, and they said there's a new piece of legislation being considered where sidewalk counselors can't say anything, and if someone feels offended by something a sidewalk counselor does, even if they you know, don't do anything, maybe just look at them a certain way, that they could be fined or even thrown into jail. It's just so out of control. But let me read what the Archbishop of Oklahoma City had to say. He said, the battle lines are being drawn very clear in the clash between government overreach and morality. And this was in a column he published earlier this week, noting the battle is between the forces of light and darkness. According to Archbishop Coakley, it's about more than restrooms. He charges the federal government is teaming up with powerful economic forces to change fundamental human relationships, such as marriage and the family, and use the public schools to do it. The strategy is to persuade the next generation to acknowledge and accept that gender is a matter of personal expression rather than biology. Consequently, if a boy self-identifies as a girl, then he ought to be allowed to use a girl's restroom or locker room in any school that accepts government funding. So he goes on to talk about the attacks on anyone who disagrees with this current status quo and the current PC language, and that has to do with life and gender, and it's all tied together. It just seems to be getting worse and worse, Father.
Well, and it will unless the church exercises her own freedom even within her own four walls. And that's where this problem is most evident. I mean, it's one thing for the government to try to restrict the freedom of the church to influence public policy and to make those policies go further and further from the gospel. But what if within the walls of our own church we cannot speak freely about what we need to say, especially as it relates to changing that public policy? And that's the problem we also have. I think in solving all this, we've got to follow the basic rule of repentance and the basic rule that our Lord articulated when he said, remove the plank from your own eye first, and then you will see clearly to remove it from your brother's eye. In a sense, there is a plank in the eye of the church here when we are imposing restrictions on our own freedom to teach our own faith within our own churches. As weird as that seems, it gets weirder when it comes to election years, and pastors feel that they can't even give guidance to their people as to what kind of people to elect and what kind of clowns not to elect, so that we don't end up with this bathroom stuff and all, you know, not to mention the continued holocaust of abortion. So really, we've got this requires another kind of conversation, I think, where we really do some self-examination and then come together as clergy and laity alike, you and I have discussed this many times, and say, come on now, how are we going to conduct our own affairs first? And then, as a church, then we can be salt and light to the world. But like our Lord says, if the salt loses its saltiness, with what is the world going to be salted?
Do you see this changing in the church, or do we still have a long way to go?
No, I think it's getting worse. More and more people are becoming aware of the problem, with Mr. Trump talking about it in the campaign now and starting to talk about it, I think this can really help. But I think we'll see in the next few months. I've pointed out, and I point out in my book Abolishing Abortion, how memos end up coming out from various diocesan offices talking about, you can't distribute these voter guides and you can't use this or that material. You can't even appear, I think you and I spoke about this recently, you can't even appear to be favoring or discrediting a particular political party or candidate. Well, I'd like to know, how do you actually achieve that? I mean, what do you say? I mean, what do you say about gender, transgender, and bathroom? I mean, if one party is pushing this or one candidate is pushing this, and the other one is opposing it, I'd like to know exactly how we're supposed to teach the church's teaching and not appear to favor or discredit one or another candidate or party. I mean, I'd like someone to explain that to me.
Well, what's the point of the church then if we can't talk about anything?
Well,
if we can't relate it to current times, if we can't apply it to what we're living, then it's just a place to go for coffee and donuts on Sunday. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And the problem is, I mean, this makes sense to us, and I hope to everyone who's listening to us right now. This makes sense to us. But the problem is, let's take a careful look over the next few months between now and Election Day at the kind of memos that come out from certain church offices that say exactly what we're talking about now. You can't appear to be partisan. Well, sorry, folks, but this doesn't work anymore. Like the Archbishop said to Coakley, the battle lines are drawn very clearly. We no longer have the choice not to appear to be favoring. I'm not saying the church should endorse candidates. I am not saying that. We can endorse candidates in our own capacity. Groups exist for that purpose, and people should get involved. in the campaigns very, very explicitly. But that's not the role of the church. But what I'm saying is when we do carry out our role of simply teaching the moral truth, of course we're going to appear to be favoring certain parties or candidates. And what I'm saying is we shouldn't be afraid of that.
Right.
We shouldn't think that it's breaking any law. It's not breaking any law. But we shouldn't be afraid of it either.
All right, it's almost 8:50. We're talking with Father Frank Pavone, and we were talking about the election coming up. We're talking about some of the pro-life battles out there. And we're also talking about, as we always do with Father, how we can all make a difference. We're going to wrap up with Father when we come back, and then we'll tell you what's coming up in the National Hour on a Thursday morning. We're live in Rome from the EWTN headquarters, right around the corner from the Vatican. And we will be right back. 877-573-7825. It's Catholic Connection on a Thursday morning. Stay tuned.
The smell of summer is in the air with cookouts, new plants and flowers, sunshine, ice cream, and fresh air. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and during our Drive and Discover event going on now, you can take advantage of payments as low as $139 per month or 0% financing on new Dodge Journey, Ram Pickup, Chrysler 200, and Jeep Cherokee. Over 400 vehicles on 6 acres for you to choose, only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Men, women, marriage, what's the point? Join Father John Ricardo as he walks us through God's plan for a marriage, Ephesians 5, Fatherhood and the Dignity of Woman. Learn why there are two creation stories. What does it mean to be children of God? And what does Paul mean when he says, wives be subject to your husbands? All this and more is covered in Father John Ricardo's 4-CD set, What's the Point? To purchase your copy, go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on What's the Point under the Store tab.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. Pope Francis speaks a lot about letting Jesus out, about the danger of being self-referential, when we really should be breaking out of that mode and avoiding a country club or bunker model of church. Our Holy Father is telling us we need to be beacons of Jesus' light and go meet the world where it lives, not staying in a church building or even among churchy people. All the activities of the body of Christ should be ordered to mission. After all, everyone needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. The charisms and gifts of the Holy Spirit necessary to carry out this apostolate do not manifest until faith becomes a friendship with the person of Jesus. But they are there by virtue of our baptism and confirmation. You are already equipped. Just surrender yourself to the Lord and He will work through you. Remember, it's not about you, it's about Him.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Welcome back. It's Catholic Connection. It's 8:51. Good to be with you live on a Thursday morning. Great conversation, as always, with Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life. Father, I was telling you during the break that we have a wonderful priest that helps out. He's retired, and he comes in and helps out at our parish every once in a while. And he gave a fantastic homily a couple weeks ago. Basically, came right out and said, if you're Catholic, you cannot vote for pro-abortion politicians.
Isn't that beautiful?
And everybody clapped.
And they clapped, you see.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people are waiting in the church for that kind of plain-spoken, direct
clarity
message. Clarity, that's right. And again, let me say something I often say when I give clergy seminars and also other public talks, and that is, you know, if people think it's too political to say that or it's partisan, it's not. And the reason why it's not is that you take what Father said, okay, just that one sentence. If, let's suppose that today there's a big press conference and the two major parties, the Republican and Democratic Party in our country, announced together at a joint press conference and they said, we are swapping our positions on abortion. And from now on, the Democratic Party is going to be the pro-life party, and the Republican Party has taken a pro-abortion position. Okay, so they make that astonishing announcement. Now, what would have to change in Father's statement that he made in that homily?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Because our message isn't based on the platform of the Republican or Democratic Party. It's based on the platform of Jesus Christ and his gospel and his church. And our message doesn't change. The political parties change. The candidates change. And if they were to change even more than they do, our message wouldn't. And that's why it's nonpartisan. It's not only nonpartisan, it's transpartisan. It rises above. It doesn't look down on or despise partisanship. It doesn't say there's anything wrong with it. It simply says, here's the mission of the church, is that we're bearing witness to an eternal kingdom, or like, you know, with EWTN, the eternal word, television network, EW, that this eternal word is above all the changes of time and of politics.
Everybody who says they're so tolerant is tolerant of everybody but us.
Everybody but us, and that's why mm-hmm. it's just no time for that sense of shame and the timidity, you know. No, this is the time to throw that out the window forever and say, you know, we're going to be proud, happy Catholics, not judgmental, not angry, but rejoicing in the truth, and at the same time having great, great compassion for those that are not there yet, those that you know, do not understand us. Lead them along with patience, with love, with joy, but certainly it's no reason to be ashamed or silent.
You know, every time I come on a pilgrimage and walk in the footsteps of the saints, I realize how much the saints suffered. In addition to having great joy in their lives, there was also a lot of suffering and persecution for what they believed.
And they were just like us when it came to that. You know, they had these kind of conversations, even though a lot of them didn't have the medium of radio to have them. But they had them among themselves. Oh, they would say, you know, we got to fight hard. And what's going on here? And how come it's like this? And we're following in their footsteps. This can be an age of great, great saints. And this is a time that demands extraordinary holiness.
All right, Father, we're going to let you go. And thanks for having a great conversation with us this morning, reminding us, especially during this fortnight for freedom, how important it is to speak the truth with love, but not to be afraid to speak the truth.
Amen.
Father, thanks. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you next week, God willing, when I get home from Roma. And
okay.
Look forward to talking to you stateside. Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life. Just about 55 minutes past the hour now. It is Thursday. I lose track of days when I'm overseas. And we are going to be talking with Dr. John Braheny. We're going to be continuing our pro-life conversation. He's a Director of Institutional Relations for the National Catholic Bioethics Center, formerly the Executive Director of the Catholic Medical Association. More reason to stand up for the truth. A horrible piece of legislation passed not too far away, folks, from us in Michigan, in Canada, regarding euthanasia. Yep, they passed it. So now you can basically kill yourself under certain circumstances in Canada. We'll discuss that with Dr. John Braheny, what it means, what do we do about it. And then we'll wrap up a Thursday morning with our friend Jeanette Bankovic, who has some wonderful conferences coming up for women. And she'll let us know the dates and the times and the places. I've attended and spoken at them, and they're very, very good. I can attest to it. Look forward to talking to Jeanette on a Thursday. And you, of course, we will be right back from Rome. Stay tuned.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Isaiah 50, verse 4 says, "The Lord has given me a well-trained tongue." Do you know how to watch your mouth? Catholics have a tradition called charitable interpretation. That means that even when we feel like someone is being intentionally offensive, we should try to assume that maybe we're missing something, and instead of lashing out at them, give them the benefit of the doubt and ask them to explain themselves. The next time you feel like someone you love is doing something stupid or offensive or just plain old irritating, instead of snapping back, train your tongue to practice charitable interpretation and ask them this question. "Hey, when you said that, it kind of hurt. What did you really mean?" Then, listen to their explanation and work together to find ways to avoid misunderstandings in the future. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
You might have seen a copy of the Michigan Catholic newspaper sitting in the back of your church, but have you picked one up lately? If so, you'll find we're not only Catholic news you can trust, but Catholic news you can use. Find out where your favorite priest is being assigned, Read our popular Q&A columns and learn more about your faith by reading the Michigan